Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best, numero uno, we like the sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's ya boys, the living room champs, back in the building, talking some wrestling, talking some grappling, with me, not filling in for my usual co-host, Mikey Whitesnake. It's his younger brother, Monty Whitesnake. Monty, how you doing today?
Great. Just filling in for my older brother, Mikey. Sorry you can't be here tonight, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Monty's here.
I've heard Monty is a huge wrestling guy, you know, so this is going to be an exciting one. Get a little different perspective.
I learned a lot from my older brother, you know, a lot of hand-me-down knowledge, hand-me-down memorabilia from him. So I just hope I can fill his shoes here tonight.
I hope
best
so,
wish,
too.
Best wishes to him, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Just taking a little sabbatical. He'll be back. We'll be back. We're back. We've been off and on and off and on, but here we are. We're in the middle of the summer. Some stuff's starting to happen here. It's getting crazy. It's
dog days.
We had a couple WWE / NXT premium live events, PLEs as we call them, in the biz. But before that, as in a rare little turn to what we normally do, we'll start off with a little bit of All Elite Wrestling news. A couple big things happening this week. Of course, last week was their big pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, and the weekend was highlighted by MJF no showing this meet and greet on Saturday, leading to speculation on his contract status and how he's upset about it. He wants more money. Tony willing to give him more money, but also wants more dates in return, more years, is supposedly the reports. Regardless of all that, was MJF going to show up? He did show up. He got smashed by Wardlow pretty significantly, and that was that. And the other big news coming out of that, of course, is the new AEW World Champion, CM Punk, with the win over Hangman Page. So the uneventful, actually rather disappointing reign of Hangman Page comes to an end. I think the next one will be better. I still believe in Page, but this one just was a little lackadaisical. Unfortunately, I think Omega being off at the same time kind of hurt it as well. But nonetheless, that's all we're here to talk about. Two big things, MJF, Punk. First of all, Wednesday on Dynamite, MJF comes to the ring at 8:30. They promoted it leading up to the show on Twitter and whatnot. Comes to the ring at 8:30. You know, and he does what I think most people expected. He does a quote-unquote pipe bomb type of promo that any wrestling fan knows what that means. Is he shooting on the company? He's shooting on Tony? He's calling Tony a fucking mark, whatever.
But before you get into that, I think it's important to point out at this point, CM Punk is still the champion.
Yeah, CM Punk's the champ.
And it was coming off of a segment where you have a very, you know, pro wrestling, rah-rah type promo with him and his...
Yeah, him and the FTR, they had a little six-man win. It was kind of a weird little start to the show. I was kind of surprised they started with that. It was weird. Whatever, some little promos. Punk gets his thing. MJF comes out, and like I said, he's going off on Tony. He's saying that, you know, the advertisers, the other people from Time Warner are there. Whatever. It's a good promo. Great promo. I'm not going to try to rank promos. There's been literally 5 billion, but like, it's a very, very good promo. Exactly what he's trying to do. Obviously, Mike, Monty, whatever we're calling you today, it's a work. I mean, everything's a work is the thing here, right? So like, all this stuff is a work. This pipe bomb, quote unquote, is a work in some way. And even if it wasn't a work, it would be made into a work by the end of the story. That's what happens. But it's clearly a work. They had the sensors ready. The beep out the F bombs. I mean, they're on it. It's right. But nonetheless, that doesn't take anything away from it.
Plus, the fact that it was on TV after all the drama in the weekend tells you it's a once it. I can't remember who said it, but once it's on TV, it's a work.
Yeah, and if it's not, they're going to have to make it into one at some point. So,
and, you know, I think they're preying off of people's vulnerability over the whole Cody thing, which was kind of, you know, is this a work? Is this shoot kind of, ended up being a
But a nonetheless, shoot. Yeah, I mean, what did you think of the promo, Mike? I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was really good, and that's what MJF excels at.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, obviously he's solid in the ring. You know, is he a guy you can build an organization around? He believes that.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's all you really need,
right?
To be honest. So who am I to say? But I mean, he's not the biggest guy. You know, no. What I mean, he's gonna have some.
The issue I'd like to see, I'd like to know that I'd be concerned about him being your top guy is, can he be this effective without working blue, so to speak? Like, he is very, very borderline on the things he's saying, and some of that stuff would not get by WWE. It won't happen.
Right.
So how much in WWE, how much freedom would he have? Who knows? I don't know. Not as much, for sure. And definitely wouldn't be saying the kind of stuff he says about people.
But he's got the charisma. He's got the time.
Definitely does.
He understands it, and I think he's the type of guy who would welcome that challenge.
Sure, and I think he could be fine, too. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think he'd be perfectly fine, but that is a question.
And when I say top guy, I don't mean, you know, he's got to be the next Rock or Austin, so to speak. But, you know, you look at a guy like Miz, and he's drawn his comparisons before. If he ends up like that, I mean, that's a Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Legendary career.
And I think
to be the top guy, the whole organization.
I would say, in my opinion, now that's probably the floor for MJF. Like, I think he's gonna be Miz. I would say at minimum, maybe not in WWE, but even if AEW, I think it will at least last long enough for him to be AEW's Miz if that's what happens. But he's gonna be.
Well, he's already there then.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the floor for him at this point. But he does have a lot more potential. But anyway. It's him versus Tony, so you're thinking, obviously everyone's thinking, is this the next Austin McMahon? Is this going to be Austin McMahon again? Well, obviously, Tony's not McMahon. He's not going to come out there literally in a tank top and like try fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin. So that's already off, but you could always have a proxy of sorts, someone that's company, and I think that's where the next part of the story comes into play to me. The company in this whole thing is going to be CM Punk, I think, and I think... when you look Friday night on Rampage, CM Punk comes out to start the show. It's big news everywhere. Obviously, CM Punk is going to say something very important about his career and whatnot. And he reveals that he has an injury. Didn't really reveal what it was. It seems to be, people seem to think it's like a broken foot or something in his foot. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, he's, you know, teary-eyed, so to speak. He's saying that, you know, he offered to forfeit the title to Tony. Tony wouldn't have it. It was very convoluted the way it was all explained very, about very what was convoluted. Next for the title.
Very but convoluted.
We'll talk about that in a second. But before that, he's hurt. He's out. Obviously, what do you think that just does, Mike? They just put the belt on him. They obviously expected a summer of Punk, so to speak. And now you're in a little jam where you got to try to do something different. Yeah. And if you have MJF off TV because of the promo kayfabe, if you're going to try to keep him off suspension, whatever, then you have Punk off big, the two top guys, minute by minute draws in that company, ratings wise.
Yeah. I mean, it almost gives them a chance. You know, let's not kid ourselves. The return of Punk was huge.
Oh, enormous.
To AEW, a huge net positive for them, I think.
Enormous.
But was it as impactful as they hoped it to be? I don't know. And obviously it's not, you know, it's not a couple month long thing. He's been there, what, almost a year?
I don't even know how long it's been, but what I will say is, I mean, the long-term effect ratings wise or viewers wise has not been an impact, but
so,
you know, that's that for sure.
I just think to me, like, it's been kind of disappointing to be honest, because he's been building up to this moment. He's done a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been rolling through guys. I think this is a chance for them to turn him heel if he comes back. And like you mentioned, I love this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you have, you know, your Austin, so to speak. You have your MJF,
you're hoping the people get behind MJF, the counter company issue. Yeah. And you're hoping they get behind MJF and then Khan brings in Punk as his guy, and you know, and I think you'll see if that's the play, the storyline will go on forward, then it'll be Punk, Danielson, Moxley, the old WWE guys, Jericho, that are on that side of the table, and then you got MJF, Page, Wardlow, some of the homegrown guys. We could get something there that could be interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I think AEW, one thing they're pretty good at, and almost to a fault, or actually a lot of the times to a fault, but also successful at times, is taking out low-hanging fruit.
Right.
I think theories, just like you mentioned, that it wouldn't be the first time they kind of mimicked a very popular storyline, sure. A trope, if you will, in wrestling.
Storylines go back. Everyone, they're all copied, really, if you think about it. They're just just different variations of different things. But the one big question about that thing that I'm setting up here, that story I'm setting up, is can AEW as a company and Tony be a heel? Because I know online they are definitely the fan favorites. People love AEW, they hate WWE. That's the sentiment.
Well, that's where this gets interesting. Like, right. You have an interesting dichotomy. You have a lot more rumblings in AEW now about people being perhaps unhappy.
Right, yeah.
The women's champion.
Careers are going to start to come out. Yeah, exactly.
There's been a lot more turbulence from what we're seeing. And I think a lot of it stems from who says no and when you say no, what gets turned down, who has your typical probably promotional, backstage politics that you see. It's not uncommon, certainly.
And I think if you look at it, what's probably starting to go on too is as this has grown, Tony realized you have to be more like Vince McMahon than you probably wanted to be or everyone you portrayed yourself as, because you're now running a really big business for really big cable partners, and you got to keep them happy.
And I will say, Len, he doesn't have the his composure in some of these press scrums and stuff. He's an interesting cat.
So I listened to him on a podcast last week, a long one, and he's weird. He's a weird speaker. He's not a great speaker, in my opinion. And also just like he gets himself tied in knots trying to like over explain everything and always defend everything he does. It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I don't know. It's just obviously Vince doesn't talk that much, so it's hard to compare and contrast.
Ask Jerry McDevitt.
Yeah, that's right.
We won the Friday Night Wars. I was settling court. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Let's see.
There's a lot of WWE to cover, so we'll move on here. But I will say this: this past week
had going in a while.
Yes, this past week has made me infinitely more interested, because I just told a friend of mine on Sunday or Saturday going into Sunday, I said I don't care honestly at all about Double or Nothing. Like, AEW's losing me, to be honest. They were losing me. This week brought me back in for sure, at least to see what goes on here. Oh, by the way, the title will be decided in a very weird way.
You better read up on it.
So Wednesday on Dynamite, we'll kick off with a Battle Royal, which, first of all, is a terrible way to decide number one contender, in my opinion. I think it's so cheesy. WWE did it, it was always maligned. But here we go. AEW's going to do it. The first person's going to win the Battle Royal. He's going to then face Moxley.
The number four ranked John
The number one. Conveniently, the ratings changed right after this announcement. He's the number one contender. They're going to face Moxley at the end of Dynamite, the main event. The winner of that will go on to Forbidden Door to wrestle. Jesus. We don't know. I think probably Tanahashi, because that's who Punk was scheduled to wrestle, but I'm not sure. For an interim AEW title, Punk will still remain the champion during this injury. There will be an interim champion, and then obviously in the future, the interim champion and Punk will be the thing. So do you have any predictions as of Wednesday? First of all, who will face Moxley Wednesday night? What do you think?
It's got to be Wardlow. I mean, feed anybody to him. It's obviously going to be Moxley winning it, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Brian Danielson would be a good pick.
Those are my two top choices.
He might be injured. I don't know.
If you're going to have Moxley lose, I would go Wardlow. I would like to see Wardlow come in there and get over huge. You put over him, he's coming off a huge win. This is the time to push him to the moon. Like, so I could totally be behind Wardlow beating Ambrose in the main event. If you have Wardlow dominate the Battle Royal, just tossing people left and right, win the match with Moxley, then he faces a New Japan guy. You can put him over whoever that is. But if you want an interesting story, obviously you can do Danielson. Him and Moxley have to face off. It's a handshake face off, match. And then winner of that goes on, whoever you want it. Maybe there's a chance for Bryan Danielson to win, because him and Punk have a history, so to speak. So you could have Danielson win there. Danielson goes on once the regular title's decided. Danielson will take over and take on CM Punk, and then that's a big time match. That's a stadium filler.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, we don't know what's going to happen, but that at least gives us some intrigue. We'll move on to NXT 2.0 first, a big premium live event for them Saturday night in your house. It was a okay show. I mean, it was pretty good. There were some good matches on there.
All titles on deck.
All titles on the line. And we
one
title change, big title change. We'll talk about that right away. We don't have to go through all these matches, but the big title match, the changed hands, huge one, couple titles changed hands, but tag team champions, new tag team champions. One I'm excited to talk about, the Creed Brothers, who we've been promoting since the start of their careers. We're big Creed Brothers guys. Creed Brothers capture the title over another one of our favorites, maybe our favorite tag team at this moment, Pretty Deadly, which leads to some questions about what could be next with Pretty Deadly and the Creed Brothers, because Diamond Mine's on shaky ground. There's just so happens to be a manager looking for talent on SmackDown by the name of Max Dupree, and he's looking for male models, and I think Pretty Deadly is probably a layup here, so I hope someone knows that's what they should do, is put Pretty Deadly with Max Dupree on Friday. What do you think?
Speaking of male models, our colleague, Johns is watching.
Noted calf model, John, is here. He's here.
Yeah, calves are looking great, by the way.
He just got off the stepper.
I love Pretty Deadly, so I'm going to be disappointed that they're not holding the belts. I hope bigger things to come. Dupree just might be the perfect fit for Wilson and what's the other guy's
name? I always forget their name.
I don't remember. That's how you know they're good.
That's
you
right.
Look at the act,
Pretty Deadly. It don't matter.
Yeah, they're Pretty Deadly. Creed Brothers.
Creed Brothers over big. They had Creed Brothers towels throughout the arena. The fans had.
Creed cloths.
Yeah, Creed cloths.
Exactly. They've been around for a while.
They're going to be moving. They're going to be. Yeah. They're flipping to baby face side here. The Creed Bros.
Well, I think they've always kind of been.
Like Diamond Mine's is kind of like borderline.
It's Diamond Mine will be gone within 2 months.
Yeah, Diamond Mine's dead. Stokely Hathaway's on Dynamite, and it's on last legs. That's for
former,
sure.
Malcolm Bivens,
right? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let's see. The tag team division's taking a little hit there. I don't know if they can afford Pretty Deadly. We might get a couple new tag teams out of.
And if you want the Creeds to run through people, you can be fine with losing Pretty Deadly. You don't want to get most serious challenge.
I think in particular, the one Julius Creed might have a lot of potential.
Oh, my God. Everyone thinks that. Did you see the Shooting Star Press? He did. I mean, it was perfect. It was unbelievable. So that title changed hands. Also, the A title, the North American title, changed hands back to the A champ, Carmelo Hayes. What do you think about this decision? I find this a little bit confusing to me. To me, I think this was the perfect opportunity to move Carmelo up to Bron Breakker, maybe, and keep Cameron Grimes with the North title. What do you think about that?
I'm kind of confused at where they're going with Cameron Grimes right now. We talked about this a few shows ago. He might, we're kind of concerned, he's grown kind of stagnant, even coming off that championship reign, short one. Obviously, they think very highly of Melo. I think he's going to get up there to Breakker at some point. I'm kind of waiting on maybe a Trick Williams turn at some point to maybe challenge Melo in some capacity.
That's definitely a possibility.
I wouldn't be surprised. And all this could change by the end of tonight. We're recording on Tuesday, so we haven't seen the NXT from tonight. It'll be live, right, I assume?
NXT live, sure, yeah.
I don't know, Len. I think it would be sad not to see Melo and Breakker go out at some point, but when does that actually happen? That might be more of a SummerSlam time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I thought this would be a good time to start to build. But you're right, it could still be done.
And they're doing, Great American Bash?
Great American Bash. There's a lot going on there. The other matches we had here, we had the women's tag title match. Obviously, Toxic Attraction versus my girls that I've been pushing for a while to be main roster talent. Maybe this is the time they go to the main roster, I hope, because they're the best, most polished women's tag team in the whole company, NXT or WWE, in my opinion. As a tag team, they're the most polished. Caden Carter and Katana Chance is now her name. They came up short against Toxic Attraction. I thought this might be the night where Toxic Attraction goes goldless, but not the case. Mandy Rose also defended against Wendy Chu in a somewhat entertaining match. Wendy Chu's hilarious. I mean, I don't, there's no legs.
They might be starting to transition her out of the whole pajama phase. She came to the ring and looked like a
tracksuit. She had the pajamas, but she underneath and, there, she had a the shirt. Yeah. She had the Talks Traction shirt on. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like what Mandy's done there. It seems like you've got to get, I think Indy Hartwell has to be next, right? Indy Hartwell needs to take that title off her. I think you have to get the title off her at some point.
Some point, yeah.
But. And the same with the tag. I mean, I'll be honest. Jane and Dolan, I like them. I think they've got better on the mic. They're pretty rough in the ring. They're not great, especially JC Jane.
I think JC Jane is okay on the mic. I think.
Yeah, Dolan's pretty bad on the mic, but Dolan's better in the ring. I think Dolan's better in the ring, worse on the mic, vice versa. But anyway, they're still champs. Mandy Rose, still champ. And, of course, Bron Breakker is still the champ, as he disposes of Gacy after too long. I'm sick of Gacy.
For all, I hope.
Yes. I mean, if I see Gacy interacting with Breakker tonight, I will be very upset. That feud didn't work.
He just doesn't have enough like supernatural power.
The feud doesn't work. Gacy,
Druids are coming around him now. They're not, I mean, they're just a waste.
They haven't unveiled the Druids. I thought that was going to be something to make it at least interesting. They did not get unveiled. Who knows? If for something like Gacy to work, you have to have real tangible followers. You got to get some of these people actually under you that are wrestling. Like, you know what I'm saying? You have to get whoever, I don't know, whatever. You got to get a couple of these people working for you, and then you might have something. Until then, you just have people in robes standing around, and you're saying dollar store Bray Wyatt sayings is like not going to work. He's not Bray Wyatt. He doesn't have the charisma, and he's talking like him. It's got weird, not working. Bron Breakker works. He's going to go on to be big things all of his career. I think that's all of it, right, Mike? That's all.
No, it's not. There's another thing that's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's working pretty good.
Oh yeah, this has been a real Lifetime movie type like scenarios outside of the thing. Last one is the family meetings on the yacht, and I just laugh. I love these kind of things. I don't care how cheesy they look or not, but Legado del Fantasma versus, they don't have a name, we'll just call them the family. We got you know, Tony D, Stacks, and Two Dimes, and I love the names. They get the victory. Legado's got to now fall in line and work under Tony D. I don't like that. I thought this was a perfect setup for a Loser Leaves Town match, Loser Leaves NXT match. Get Legado to SmackDown, and let's move on. I mean, you got a tag team you can throw in there, and Escobar could be perfect challenger for Walter / Gunther once he beats Ricochet for the Intercontinental title on Friday. And that'll be, I think Santos would fit in on SmackDown pretty well. But who knows? I thought they should have been called up a while ago. I think he's money. But either way, now they're going to have to be working for the family. And are we going to see L.A. Knight, Cameron Grimes situation, like a butler-ish situation? They're going to have to be washing cars, probably. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't have them, like, mowing the lawn or any of the stereotypical, you know, Mexican tropes that WWE's used in the past. I mean, so you could definitely see them doing landscaping or something like that for D'Angelo, and that would be very ill-advised, so I hope they don't do that, but who knows? It's going to be something silly.
It's a, you know, they film all this at a Full Sail, which is like a media school
right.
in Florida, and it's part of the reason probably why they chose that location for the Performance Center and NXT in that area, and I just wish they would go a little bit seedier, a little bit darker on this whole feud. I think could use just a little bit different
lighting, you're right,
a little more production value.
No, you're right. More,
and that stuff's more not hard to, you know.
More violent. Like, I think these guys are like joke gangsters. You know what I mean? Like, both of them are like, huh, like it's all lit in the light. This, I agree with you. This and would be better with some more crowbar attacks.
Yet before the match was those guys just like walking down the street, like adjusting their jackets and looking around. Like, I want some questionable
some stuff going on, some money changing hands, you know, stuff
some,
like
some washing some money,
yeah, right,
hanging up to dry, cement boots or pouring, you know what I mean, some baseball bats, you know, just give it some more depth there.
I couldn't agree more.
And I think these two have a fatal attraction. Like I said, I think they have a fatal attraction to one another. I think they dislike each other, but they really do respect each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're both curious about what their powers combined could be. So I don't think they're going to resist Len. I think they're going to join forces.
Okay.
And run amok this family. But, I mean, that might be too much to ask for.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be long for this world either way. It's not going to be the last match we see against these.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've made it clear what I think about Escobar. I think Escobar is very good and should be in the main roster and, like, legit mid to the card. Obviously, they don't feel that way because he's been stuck in neutral in NXT this whole entire time, really. So, I mean, I don't think they're very high on him. If I had to guess, that would be my guess.
I wish they would bring back Deonna Purrazzo and put her in. Then they would have, like, a Brady Bunch type situation.
I mean, I like Electra Lopez. She is good in that role.
I know, but then you would have one-to-one for
yeah. I got you. You know, I agree. Like Judgment Day and Edge, Edge, all that stuff. I like that you got to get the female in there. They should have had a woman, Mafioso, possibly. Right. Like they could have easily used Santino Marella's daughter, who's there now. She wrestled in the breakout tournament. No one had seen her before. You could have used her in some kind of, you know, female boss role right there. It would have been perfect. She's pretty talented too, I think. So anyway, that's NXT 2.0. Good show. Mike and I love NXT. We're not going to say anything bad about it.
Lash Legend's getting a little...
Lash Legend.
Corner,
I like Lash Legend.
There's some interesting things going
on. Yeah, I'm always in. So then we move on to Sunday, of course, and Hell in a Cell. And there was one Hell in a Cell match, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but clearly...
Only one, but
worth it. Worth the wait if you watch the show. I mean, an amazing match. This one had... Actually, this card I thought was very good, top to bottom. It started with the women's triple threat, Bianca, Asuka, Becky. They did not disappoint. They delivered as we pretty much all knew they would. There's not even any question there. I like the win. You get Becky hitting the manhandle slam, Bianca sneaking in for the pin. So it's a little bit underhanded. You still, as of Monday, then have Asuka, Becky broke off into a singles feud, which is what they were probably planning to do for the show before Naomi and Sasha had walked out, because it was going to be Naomi, Bianca, probably Becky, Asuka, but they had to kind of mix it up a little bit. So anyway, that's good. On Monday, there was a four-way for the number one contender for the women's title, Liv Morgan, Doudrop, Rhea Ripley, and who's the fourth one? Drawing a blank now. Liv Morgan, Doudrop, Rhea Ripley. Anyway, there was four of them in there. And
Aaliyah?
No, she's on SmackDown. Rhea Ripley won the match. That's what's important here. Rhea Ripley won the match. She's the number one contender. We'll talk about her a little bit here. We talk about Judgment Day. Also on next up on Hell in a Cell was a handicap match. The Almighty having to face off against the Nigerian Giant, Omos, and Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, in a handicap match. This match I had no expectations for this match at all. And so it probably met them or maybe exceeded them, excuse me. I think, I don't know. I think Omos is bordering on dead in the water. I mean, it's getting close to me. I know they're trying. It's hard to go.
A handicap match.
It's hard to go with him. We'll see what's next. I don't know. As far as Almighty, big win, obviously, for him. You need to get him on to something. I mean, he could be right at the top of the card again. I'd say Money in the Bank would be cool. Get him in Money in the Bank match, something, whatever. But they're rebuilding Almighty. They're doing a pretty good job of doing it. There was a little interaction with Cedric Alexander bringing up some things. So Cedric Alexander came in. MVP had told him to stay away. The Hurt Business is dead. It's never coming back. Stay away from the ring. He got involved anyway. Kind of cost Omos an MVP. Then backstage, Lashley and Cedric interacted. He warned him to stay away from his matches, but they kind of seem like they fluffed on good terms. I'm not sure we're not going to see a Hurt Business reunion without MVP. Shelton, Cedric, Lashley. I wouldn't rule it out, and I wouldn't hate it. So we'll see what happens.
I'd like to see all of them together.
I would, too.
Even Omos.
Even put Omos in there. Sure, yeah.
But I'll tell you what I really took away from Hell in a Cell, then. One of my main points,
uh-huh.
My main takeaways, was MVP is not a bad rapper.
No, great diss track by MVP. A great one. I've heard him. He was just on a song.
He's got a good voice. He's got a good voice.
He does. He can rap for sure. He isn't bad at all. I liked it. I'm glad they showed it they used it, because normally stuff like that they put online and no one ever sees it on the TV. It's weird. But that was good. The other undercard matches, of course, was Owens versus Ezekiel. This was a good match. I might say this was the best match. Well, Ezekiel's only been around a couple months, but I would say this is the best match either him or his brother Elias has maybe had as far as wrestling talent. And it's not surprising, obviously, with Kevin Owens and the guy the way. Owens wins with the stunner. Pretty clean. Seems like it might be over. Then there was a little interaction again on Monday. One more match. Next Monday, it's going to be Ezekiel versus Owens. So that's going to go on at least one more week. Hopefully only one more week. And then we saw Madcap Moss against Happy Corbin, no holds barred match. Again, this is not a feud that I'm particularly excited about, but I'll tell you what, Madcap Moss has it. Madcap Moss is a real, real riser here.
Yes.
And he got rid of the suspenders. He's back to just shorts. He looks phenomenal. I mean, body-wise, he's just stacked. And then he's pretty good in the ring, not bad on the mic. The one thing I'll say is you got to change the name. Madcap Moss doesn't make any sense now. He's not a jokester. Madcap's got to go. But I don't care. Just call him Moss. I mean, they like to just go one name. Moss is fine. I don't care. Obviously, this is a time. He did a big spot where he wrapped the chair around Corbin's neck, hit it with the stairs. So I think this is the time to write off Corbin for probably a little bit of time here. Maybe we can get a reboot from Corbin, because I love Corbin. Yeah. But you got to give him better gimmick. He's had so many bad gimmicks.
He's due for a reboot, and that's kind of how they've handled him since day one.
Yeah.
Honestly, being rebooted. I agree with you 100%. Madcap Moss, Riddick Moss,
Moss, whatever you want to call him. Not Madcap.
Absolutely. He reminds me a lot of Wardlow in terms of both just his overall look.
Yeah.
But I think he does have the charisma, Len.
He does have a little bit of charisma.
I think he'll be fine to Mike, but I agree. I think he is going to be a sneaky one for big-time player here in the next couple of years. And I think he's already proven with the whole Madcap gimmick that, he's kind of he's willing to take what you give him and make it work.
As ridiculous
as it might
seem. I'm sure he's earned a lot of points there with Vince and on stuff like
and
that.
I think WWE has a lot of guys now who, I think, get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same with Butch. Butch, I've heard in interviews, a lot of interviews, he's you just got to do what you got to do. You got to take what you take and go with it. And it works. It works if you do it. I mean, sometimes it does suck, but if it sucks, ultimately you'll get off it onto something else. So just go with it. The next thing up, the United States title match was kind of a short. I think it kind of was up before the main event, so it was kind of rushed a little bit, I think. But they probably weren't going to get a bunch of time anyway. Theory defended successfully against Mustafa Ali in his hometown of Chicago. I was hoping for an Ali win, not expecting one by any means. I thought it would have been a good moment to give him the win in Chicago. You could even give it back to Theory next night if you want to, whatever. But I thought it would have been a good moment to do it, given all the animosity between the two. Ali has been a pretty good soldier, and whatever is between them, there's no denying the fact that he's probably one of the more creative people in that entire company. That videos he does for his own online and all that stuff they're phenomenal. He's so good at that kind of stuff. You got to find a way to use him better. I didn't expect him necessarily, and I don't even necessarily want Theory to lose the belt. Theory's been good as champ, but I just thought it could be a good PR opportunity there. U.S. champion, the Muslim, people always question whether he's even from the U.S. He is. Obviously, he's from Chicago. He's born and raised, all that stuff. But people don't know that. They assume he's from somewhere else because he's Muslim, unfortunately. So anyway, Theory wins. He's gone on. We'll see what goes on with Ali after that. Who knows? The other non-main event, of course, was Judgment Day versus Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and Liv Morgan. This match, nothing special. I mean, it played out the way you would expect, I think. A lot of brawling, a lot of, close calls for AJ and Finn. But, of course, the Judgment Day, a brand new faction. I mean, they have to win. They have to be strong. They have to go forward. And then they go forward into Monday, Mike, and they announce right at the beginning of the show we're going to see a new member added at 10 o'clock. Okay. I'm excited. I'm going to be tuned in at 10 o'clock. Let's see what happens. Who's it going to be? And then, they've been teasing Finn. They've been teasing a lot of different, teased all kinds of people. Edge has been tweeting out pictures every day. But nonetheless, Finn Balor's music hits. He comes out.
Great.
Edge, and he's the new member. He praises Judgment Day, says he loves what Edge has done with Rhea, with Damian, how he's built them up, blah, blah, blah. Perfect setup. And then Priest gets back on the mic and says, yeah. And he's like, we only have one more obstacle we got to get rid of, and then we're going to go straight to the top. And that obstacle is you, Edge. It's Edge. Edge is the obstacle. So they beat the hell out of Edge, the founder of Judgment Day. They beat the hell out of Edge. And it seems we have a new Judgment Day already. It's Finn. It's Priest. It's Liv. I'm sorry, Rhea. And Edge is out. I think this is probably a direct reaction to Cody's injury and them needing a top babyface for Raw. And that's probably why they wanted to get Edge there. But I like this. They did it well, and I'm really interested to see how much they stick behind the Judgment Day now that Edge isn't in it, because they were very behind it when Edge was in it, and he was doing all the promos. They seem to have given a lot of time. Now you're going to get them. I mean, they're going to be facing Edge, so they'll be okay then. But once they get through that feud, are they going to give Finn and Damian and Rhea an actual platform once they don't have Edge, the Hall of Famer, with them? That's the question to me, Mike. What do you think?
It's a valid question. Where does it go? Who's the leader? Is it? I think it's Damian. We'll see.
Seems to be Damian, but I think it could be Finn pretty easily.
And do they keep adding to it? What? Where goes Edge? Does Edge join up with AJ Styles?
Right.
In some way,
could AJ join this group? You could do something even more crazy.
You say it's a direct response to the American Nightmare's injury, which I do agree with to an extent, but I also think it's a direct response to Edge's failure to replace that cheapo Scales of Justice that I brought up in the last podcast. Yeah. He refused to step that game up.
I think they got rid of it, though. I haven't seen it. Is it still around at all? I haven't seen the Scales of Justice. So maybe they just scrapped it all together.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing it recently?
They scrapped it. They didn't get much out of it.
That's right.
If the scrapyard would even take that, probably plastic.
It's scale. Probably threw it outside, but, off the road, on the side of the road somewhere.
Yeah. No, but it's, let's see what happens. I'm all for this feuding or warring faction type situation that's been happening. But, you know, where does Edge land? Does he land back in the main event picture now?
I mean, you'd think he's, based on WWE philosophy in the past, you could write it right now. He's going to be a loner. He's not, obviously, he's burned all his bridges. Nobody's going to have his back, but he's going to go to AJ, say, AJ, Finn turns back on you. AJ, can they coexist? Can they coexist is always the question. Can Edge and AJ coexist? Seems like a direct line what they'll do here. I don't want that to happen, but I feel like that's almost guaranteed what will happen. You know what I mean? Because who's going to help Edge? I mean, he's just been miserable. You know, he's been building this crew. I don't know. It's interesting. But anyway, I like it, and it's interesting, and that's cool. You got to have stuff good happening. Speaking of the good stuff, the best stuff, saved for last, obviously, Hell in a Cell. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. Cody's 2-0 versus Seth. Cody, we find out, tore his pec completely off the bone, supposedly sometime this week. We don't know exactly the way, but he walks in. There's no doubt it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole arm and chest is black and blue. It looks disgusting. He can barely use that arm. Seth, again, tops himself with fucking gear as he comes out in the black and polka-dotted Dusty Rhodes American Dream amazing. Son of a plumber gear. Fucking amazing. I love it. Seth is so good. It's just unbelievable. And they have an unbelievable Hell in a Cell match, probably one of the best, if not the best Hell in a Cell match you will see. I mean, it was unbelievably good. Bull ropes and chairs and all kinds of weapons were used. The kendo stick Seth used really interestingly, like poking it in there. The sledgehammer came out. The pedigree got used. I mean, all the Easter eggs you want, they're all in there. The only problem with this match to me is why would Cody win this match? I mean, to me, you have to have Seth win this match. Cody's 2-0, obviously probably going to take some time off. So to me, you have to have Seth win here. It makes it 2-1. Then when Cody comes back, you could still keep going. Now it's 3-0. What leg does Seth have to stand on?
You know,
he doesn't, but of course on Monday, he does, creates a leg to stand on, but he has no leg to stand on here. He couldn't be challenging for him again. He's 0-3. It's inconceivable. But, they go Monday. Cody's out first, of course, to announce that he didn't really announce anything. He's kind of cryptically talking about winning Money in the Bank. You know, he wants to win Money in the Bank. Can he do it with this injury? Blah, blah, blah. Doesn't get any further than that. But meanwhile, the announcers are saying he has surgery scheduled on Wednesday. Corey Graves is saying. So he's scheduled to have surgery. Out comes Seth Rollins. No dancing. He's walking gingerly. He's banged up. He comes out, bares his soul, says he still doesn't like Cody, but he's earned his respect. And, you know, he says he's earned his daddy's respect, but Dusty'd be so proud. Shake of hands. It's great. He walks out. Cody basking in the crowd's glory, of course. And then that music just keeps playing just a little bit too long. They're following him a little bit too long with that camera. So you know something's going to happen. I mean, he's all the way down the aisle. The camera's still on Cody. The music's been playing and playing and playing. And what happens? Seth Rollins comes out with a sledgehammer and bashes his head in with it and beats him up and sends him out on a stretcher. So Seth is unhinged, as we know, usually. And that's what they're going to do. I'm assuming they're going to use that to write Cody out of Money in the Bank since he was still teasing about getting in it. Now they'll say there's just no way he can get in it. And then when he does come back, you can do Seth and Cody again, even though it's 0-3 because it's a blood feud at this point.
I mean, what guy can eat three losses like that in a row and maybe get over more than he has? I mean, like you said, it's just driving him to insanity. I think you had to have Cody win that match if he's going to be on the shelf for a bit, because you got to do him right, you know, in these big matches, I think. And that's what you're doing. They're building him as the new white meat baby.
Yeah, fan. I see. See, that's why I think and a loss would have been fine there, only because it would have been so valiant. He fought through Rollins. He came up just short. And Rollins would have had to do something dastardly, obviously. Yeah. And the crowd would have been, you know, going crazy at the end for Cody Amon. But you're right. The win's fine, too. Either one's fine. But nonetheless, the match was incredible. So that should be said, first of all. The match was incredible. Cody, Seth, incredible. And the Raw has some stuff going on. The lack of titles, main titles, and the lack of Roman Reigns at this particular moment makes it tough to go through Raw and SmackDown every week with nothing on the table. However, it seems we're destined for Riddle Reigns at Money in the Bank, which is, of course, a dream match of mine. Yep. So I'm excited for that one. But that's it. I mean, that's wrestling for the week-ish, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long we've been off. And I think they did a pretty good job delivering. WWE delivered. MJF, of course, delivered a big week, and Punk for AEW. So a lot of talk in the wrestling world right now. And we'll be back. Talk about Money in the Bank before it happens, probably. Maybe we'll do a Money in the Bank rewatch from an old one or something. I don't know. Who knows? But nonetheless, we'll talk wrestling again at LRC Pod on Twitter, Living Room Champs, Instagram, Facebook, all the stuff, all the social medias. You know them. You know them by now. Go to them. Subscribe to them. Like them. Love them. Share them. I don't care what you do. Get us more listeners, hopefully. We're going to have another podcast coming out this week about the entertainment world. From the whole all-star crew. All right. Thanks again. Listen to the Squared Sofa for Monty Whitesnake. It is me, Len Biggs. Living Room Champs are out. Hit the cover off it, smash it, talk trash. Street profits back on the mat and frog splash. And that's that. What's up? The biggest dog in the fight. Len Biggs on the air here with Mr.